is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding it down in New York City, Jack Carty. And thank you to you. Yeah, you for listening. Wherever you're listening, in your car, at home, at work, in the backyard, the front yard. Thank you for tuning in. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we've talked about a whole hell of a lot. We talked about Sunday night football between the Cowboys and the Steelers. We talked about Sunday morning football in London between the Jets and the Vikings. We talked about Devontae Adams. Where the hell is this guy going to end up? The New York Mets ended up with a decision. Kodai Senga is going to start for them tomorrow in Philadelphia. Thank you so much to Mike DeFabo for joining us. He covers the Steelers for The Athletic. And how about this? In about 20 minutes, we're going to have another conversation. Dan Wolkin is going to come through and join us to talk about some college football. We have a lot to get into. We have a lot to discuss. We talked about LeBron James not playing basketball tonight. Yeah, big shock, right? LeBron James not playing in a preseason game. I think every and anybody could have seen that one coming. And so we have so much more to do. How can you listen to this show? Well, however you're listening now, that's one way. You can always tune in on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. That's one way. Depends on where you live. Of course, coast to coast. I don't know where you live. SiriusXM, channel 158. If you got Sirius, then boom, channel 158, the Infinity Sports Network pops up. Also, if you have a smart speaker at home, at work, I don't know where else you could possibly have a smart speaker. It needs to be plugged in, connected to the internet somewhere. That'd be weird. Hey, Jack, somebody somewhere has a smart speaker in their car, right? Just, I mean, like, not connect, like, not the phone, but somebody has a full speaker in their car, a smart speaker, right?
It's got to be. I'd be shocked that there wasn't. I'd be very interesting to have in your car, but there's got to be somebody out there that has one.
That got to be some strong Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah. Yes, it would be.
Can you even do that? I don't know.
I have no idea. I feel like, yeah, it must be an old school car. I don't know.
Not an old school car. Well, first of all, a smart speaker needs, you got all type of adapters.
Well, yeah, so right,
You can plug a smart speaker into the car. That's easy. You find an adapter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the Wi-Fi side of things, right? To connect the Wi-Fi, it'd have to come from your phone, right? Like
you would think, yeah.
I don't know. Mine's just plugged in my wall. It's connected to the house Wi-Fi. I don't know. It gets real complicated. Hey, shout outs to everybody who is so smart that they have a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network and poof, show pops right on up. So thank you. You can also participate in the show by calling. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief everywhere. How about this? I told you, in 15 minutes, we're going to take a dive into the world of college football, see what matchups we need to see, what's going on with Cam Rising, what's going on with Cam Ward. You know, we're going to figure it all out. Dan Wolkin is going to join us from USA Today. That conversation will take place in about 20 minutes. So don't you move. Now, right before we went to break, you know, Devontae Adams has been a topic of conversation now for days, pretty much all week. He is the biggest story in the NFL dating back to, well, his coach saying or liking post on Instagram about him moving on. And we've talked about some of the most dysfunctional sports franchises. Damn it, I gave you a top six list this past Wednesday. And of course, the Raiders were on the list. Of course they were. But there's a new team that has potentially not made the list of being dysfunctional. But they are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're widely recognized as rebuilding. And I will tell you, this is what you call balance. I'm talking about the New England Patriots. They have entered into, and they have been in, their era of being trash. And they're due. After Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowl rings, if the Patriots never won another championship in my lifetime, I don't know how much longer I got left to live. If they never won another title over the next 30 or 40 or 50 years, I see people are living past 100 now, however long, if they never won another title, I'd be good. Y'all won enough. Now you're stuck with Jacoby Brissett babysitting. Now the New England Patriots, proud franchise, Robert Kraft, they got a 1-3 record. They're getting the snot beat out of them every week. San Francisco 49ers are running at half steam. Lost to them 30-13. The only team that they beat to open up the season was the Bengals. The Bengals don't have their lives together. And if you're a general NFL fan, you probably are happy. You probably don't care. Patriots are winning. They've won for so long. Who's going to feel sympathetic to them? It's almost like the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls are trash. They've been bad for a while now. When it looked like they were going to be good, Derrick Rose, the poor guy, blew out his knee. And God bless him. What a great career he had. But nobody is feeling bad for the Bulls. I know there's a generation of people who do not remember Michael Jordan, but nobody is feeling bad for the Bulls just because of what they had in the 90s. Too bad. So what? It was 25 years ago. Don't care. The New England Patriots, their pain is fresh. It was a slow burn, the beef between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And then Brady leaves in the pandemic. Belichick sticks around, continuing with his poor drafting process. And then Belichick is ultimately, I don't want to say he was given the boot, but he kind of was. It ran its course and he's gone. Gerard Mayo takes over, former linebacker. But here's the problem. There's no Tom Brady. There's no Drew Bledsoe. They drafted a man at number 3 overall, Drake May, to come through and hopefully solve their problems and become their franchise quarterback. Remember, maybe Bill Belichick would still be around if Mac Jones actually worked out. And so because these Patriots have stunk this year, and damn, this sucks, they got the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. What a ugly-ass football game that's going to be. I can't even say you got to be a Dolphins fan or a Patriots fan to enjoy it. You have to just be a diehard fan to sit around and like that. Like my friends, the Dolphin Bandits. What's up? Down in Miami. But here's where things get juicy. It's only been 4 games. 4 games. And it appears that the Patriot players are already sick of the quarterback babysitter in Jacoby Brissett. This man is 31 years old. He has basically been a quarterback babysitter with Miami and Washington, the Browns, and now the Patriots. He is a professional babysitter. He is a placeholder, professional placeholder at quarterback for every team he goes to. Well, the Patriots stink. They got a young rookie sitting on the bench in Drake May. I know they're going to pull the plug on Jacoby Brissett eventually. But this was reported on the New England Patriots on their own website. They have an online show that they run. Babs on the mic. He was on the Patriots show. He was chatting it up. And their own employee said that the players are basically getting ready to turn their backs on the head coach. Listen to this.
Right now, they're teetering on mutiny in that locker room. And I don't want to be alarmist or like hyperbolic. Yeah, hyperbolic. Thank you. I don't. But I was in that locker room after the game on Sunday. the defense is mad at the defense. The offense is mad at the offense. You have young receivers who are literally throwing tantrums on film. And Pop Douglas and Jalen Polk, and good on Pop Douglas for owning that this week and walking, you know, kind of saying that he's got to be better and all that kind of stuff. But I said this before and I'll say it again. You're at the point now with 52 other guys in that locker room that all watch these two quarterbacks practice every single day, that all know that they drafted Drake May 3rd overall. And at what point in time does some of these guys say to themselves, why am I going out there and getting my butt kicked every single Sunday and Drake can't? Like, why am I going out there with a quarterback who can't get me the football when we have the Ferrari back in the garage that can get me the football, but I'm Jalen Polk. I'm supposed to go run every single route as hard as I can, and I'm supposed to, you know, lay it all out on there.
Wow. That was on the Patriots. That's on their own website. And you want to know how bad that comment was? The players are on the verge of a mutiny. You want to know what type of effect that had? That the Patriots edited the clip and took that part of it off the website. Everything else that he said exists, but the part about a mutiny is no longer there. Yeah, well, if you're the New England Patriots, why are you going to continue on by, I don't know, beating up yourself? You're paying a guy to beat you up. There's nothing wrong with honesty. The world should have more of it, even from internally. You should need to know how to check yourself. They took out the word mutiny. Not what Gerard Mayo needs as his first year as the New England Patriots head coach. And so today, ahead of their matchup against the Dolphins, the conversation wasn't so much about the Miami Dolphins. It was about whether or not the players still believe in Gerard Mayo and his decision-making. Especially leaving Jacoby Brissett out there and not allowing Drake May to go out there and play. I want you to listen. Gerard Mayo had to answer the media's questions today about whether or not the team still believes in him or whether or not they're falling apart.
No, look, for our, you know, my focus is definitely on the Dolphins, 100%, and the guys in the locker room. So I haven't heard that, and I mean, that's journalism for you. I'm not sure.
But it's from the team, so I wanted to check with another team employee here.
No, like I said, like, I haven't heard that, and try not to pay attention to that stuff. So you got to ask him.
Yeah, don't ask me. I love how all the coaches, they all claim ignorance. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I didn't hear anything. Nothing exists. I don't know. I'm just here. Look, Drake May is going to get his chance sooner than later. And if I got to be honest, I'm just going to click into this game here and there just to see how bad it is, but I am not sticking around. Who wants to see? Wait, who is paying to see Jacoby Brissett versus Tyler Huntley?
Oof.
Nobody. You would you pay to see that?
No shot.
I think the only people who might have any interest are people who have a financial interest in the game. Maybe Tyreek Hill will have a breakout game. As bad as both of these teams are right now, I'm going to give Miami the edge, and we know they were bad. The head coach of the Dolphins, the wordsmith himself, Mike McDaniel, he spoke to the media. He was asked, hey, man, y'all have sucked, too. Not as bad as the Patriots, but you guys suck, too. Are you changing anything with the offense? Listen to what Mike McDaniel said.
To me, in a situation like this, I haven't really been in one where we haven't had production consecutively like this. So you really have to open your mind to really all things.
I told you he was a wordsmith. You didn't believe me. Anyway, this is probably going to be one of the ugliest matchups on Sunday. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be interesting for what happens afterwards. Because we've already reached a point for the Miami Dolphins. If they continue to stink, Tua Tagovailoa is eligible to return in week 8. If the Dolphins are still bad, and they might be, what the hell are you bringing him back for? And well, I mean, if you're the New England Patriots, what are you waiting for? Eventually, you got to throw Drake May back there, but you don't want him to take the physical beating behind that crap offensive line. it's nice to see the Patriots suffering for a bit. Might be suffering for a long time. Congratulations. I got the Dolphins beating them. I do. And keep on losing to the Patriots. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have a conversation. Dan Wolkin is going to join us from USA Today. Let's pivot from the NFL for a minute and talk about some college football. What games we need to see, what players we need to watch. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We've talked some NFL, we've talked some baseball, we talked some NBA. I mean, damn it, even the NHL has gotten started in Prague in the Czech Republic. Well, college football has been underway. The AP Top 25, the rankings have been shaken up. We've had some teams that have gotten shaken out. And to talk about what we might see this weekend in college football. I mean, we got a game going on right now between Houston and TCU. To talk about everything going on is someone who covers college football for USA Today. Right now, we're being joined by Dan Wolkin. Dan, thank you for taking the time to join us on this Friday.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm very well. You know, before we get into the games this upcoming weekend, we saw one hell of a game last Saturday against Alabama and Georgia. Alabama rises to number one. And the Bulldogs, they get beat by Alabama again. It's too often outside of the championship. What are your thoughts on both of those teams? Is Georgia, can their offense hang at the top?
Well, look, I think Georgia's got some issues right now early in the season offensively. They're not running the ball very well, and I think that's something that's been a huge part of their identity over the years. You know, I'm not sure if it's offensive line issues, if it's running back issues, if it's the play calling, but I think as the season goes on, you're going to really need to see them get back to playing that style of football and run first, open up the pass. But, you know, at the end of the game, certainly the way they came back might give them some confidence going forward. But none of these teams are finished products yet. And, you know, Alabama looked great early. Then they let their foot off the gas. They were fortunate to win. You know, I think they're very talented. DeBoer's a really good coach. It'll be interesting to see him navigate as the stakes get higher in his first season at Alabama. And maybe they'll play again at some point down the road. We'll see.
Well, Dan, you talk about finished products and even development. What we saw at this point last year from Jalen Milroe versus what we see today, You see the growth, and he's now a Heisman candidate in what they're doing at Alabama. What has grown in his game and even what we see now under Kalen DeBoer?
Well, look, I think DeBoer is one of those guys who he's won everywhere. He's had great offenses everywhere, and he's developed quarterbacks. And I think at Alabama, whether or not it's totally DeBoer or just the natural progression, you're certainly going to see Milroe make some steps. Looked very, very good against Georgia. He's been terrific all season, improving, you know, and maybe last year the playbook, he didn't have full command of everything in there as a younger player, but now as a veteran, they can do more with him. Obviously, he spent a lot of time working on his game. And, yeah, he's definitely one of the top quarterbacks in the country right now.
Dan Wolkin is joining us from USA Today. You talk about Milroe, another ridiculously exciting quarterback to watch right now is Cam Ward with the Hurricanes. We see them taking on Cal tomorrow, and people look at Cam Ward and the numbers that he puts up, and they go, hey, you know, it's this ACC. What are your thoughts on what he's been able to do so far this season and what we might see tomorrow against the 3-1 Cal?
Yeah, really, really good player. Was really good last year, really good this year, playing with a more talented supporting cast. can just do a lot of things for sure. And definitely a guy who's landing on the NFL radar screen right now, playing in a more high profile environment and situation in Miami. We have to acknowledge they were very fortunate last Friday night to get out of that game against Virginia Tech with a win on an overturned and somewhat controversial touchdown at the very end of the game. But look, Cam Ward was at the end of last season debating whether or not to go to the NFL or go somewhere else, give college one more year. And I think he made a good decision, at least to this point, because he's played well. He's on a bigger stage. And I think at the end of the season, Miami's going to be in the mix for the college football playoff, and his draft status is probably going to improve as a result of all those things.
You know, Dan, I'm still scratching my head. I understand it all. It's all about dollars, cents, money, television rights, packaging, etc. Miami is going all the way across country to play against a team in the same conference as them. We see so many moves taking place with the Pac-12 and people going from West Coast Conference. When does this slow down? Will we ever have more of a consolidation at some point over the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, maybe sooner?
Well, I can't really say for sure, only speculating, and certainly within the industry, there's a lot of focus on the year 2030, 2031. That's when the college football playoff contract that they have now is going to expire. It's also when a lot of the television media deals in the major conferences are also going to be up for renewal. And those periods of time traditionally have been when you've seen a lot of these big realignment situations happen. And the next iteration of it, a lot of people think, is going to be the top, you know, 30, 40, 50 programs, something like that, getting together and breaking away and kind of playing in their own league. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think it would take a lot of organization and some just infrastructure that you can't just snap your fingers and make happen. And there's certainly a lot of tradition behind the conference structure. But look, if some of these schools at the very top are convinced that they can make a lot more money in a smaller, more exclusive league that is set up kind of like the NFL, well, then they're definitely going to do that. And again, it's several years into the future, but I wouldn't be shocked if we start to hear rumblings of that in, you know, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, we got rumblings all over the place. Everything changes. It feels like a week to week. Dan Wolkin is joining us. He covers college football for USA Today. When you look at some of the matchups over the course of tomorrow, I just talked about Miami having to go cross country to take on Cal. We got USC and Minnesota. Are there any other matchups that we should pay attention to that catch your eye for this weekend?
No, I mean, look, it's not the best weekend of college football for sure. You know, right now, we're kind of in that period of the season where conference play is starting. So you're going to get some good games, but you're also going to get some that aren't that interesting. I think Ole Miss going to South Carolina weekend is one that has the potential to be good. But, this is kind of a pause week, you know, a breathing week. Michigan going to Washington, you know, certainly that's going to be a revealing game for both teams, but neither one of those teams is really a national championship contender. Clemson, Florida State's a good rivalry, but Florida State's having a very, very bad season. I'm looking forward to watching a little bit more of Indiana this week. Haven't gotten to see them, but they're 5-0 playing Northwestern. And we'll kind of go from there. These are the kind of weeks where maybe the are not a ton of marquee matchups, but you could also get some crazy games and upsets. That's the way it typically happens.
Well, Dan, let's go back. You had mentioned Ole Miss, and they got into a rock fight. Kentucky feels like they're getting in rock fights with everybody. Georgia, now Ole Miss. What does that loss mean for Ole Miss? Can we just kind of eject them out of the playoff conversation?
Well, you can't reject out of the playoff conversation any team that has the opportunity to finish 11-1, 10-2 in the SEC with some good wins. And Ole Miss is still has that opportunity. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to be good enough to do it. Time will tell, and that game tomorrow against South Carolina is definitely one that should have their attention. But they're going to have some opportunities. LSU is their next sort of marquee game. They get Georgia and Oxford, so that's a huge chance for them to notch a major win. And at the end of the day, they're still a very talented team. So you know, even though at the moment I'd be somewhat skeptical that they're going to be there at the end, you can't count them out. It's too early, and they've got too many good players and too many opportunities for big wins.
Well, Dan Wolkin here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. You think about another team that has just joined the SEC. You look at Texas. What are your thoughts on what they'll look like with this return, ultimately, of Quinn Ewers?
Well, I think they're going to need Ewers probably to win a national championship, even though Arch Manning certainly has looked good and is probably going to be a really solid college player at minimum and maybe a great college player when it's all said and done. But at this point in time, he's not Ewers in terms of having full command of the offense and the game slowing down and having the chemistry and the leadership and all the things that Ewers has developed in a couple years as a starting quarterback. So when he comes back, for sure, and when he's fully healthy, I do think Texas is a certain percentage better. You know, I don't know if it's 20% better or 50% better, but their offense is definitely more dangerous. And I know that as much as people get excited about Arch Manning and Texas may be able to win a lot of games with Arch Manning, I know the coaching staff there feels very strongly that Quinn Ewers gives them the best chance to accomplish what they want this season.
Well, Dan, final question. When we boil it down, what team do you think is best and well-equipped to walk away with a national championship?
Well, again, it's still too early to really figure that out. I want to see Ohio State against a really good team. Ohio State, I think, has got probably the best combination of talent and experience in the country on their roster, but they haven't played anybody. And, you know, they're not going to play anybody for another week or two when they have to go out to Oregon. And then we're really going to learn a lot more about where they're at. Georgia certainly should be in that mix. We'll see how they bounce back from that game against Alabama. Alabama's in that mix. Maybe Tennessee, you know, still think they're very, very good, and they've got a terrific young quarterback there, a lot of talent, a great offensive system. Still a lot to shake out here, but, I'm certainly focused on those kinds of teams.
Well, Dan, last question for you. That's looking forward into the future. I mean, just over the past week and over the past months, we've seen guys who have moved on to the NFL receive show cause penalties and threats from the NCAA, whether it's this week, Antonio Pierce, and you think about Harbaugh. Is this not all for show and threats, especially with the new rules that have been implemented kind of haphazardly? Like, how much more of this do we have to kind of deal with into the future when it deals with recruiting issues?
Well, I wouldn't say it's for show. I mean, look, both in the Jim Harbaugh Michigan case and in what Antonio Pierce was named in with Arizona State largely revolves around recruiting violations that occurred during COVID. There was a period of time where, because of the pandemic that was going on, all of the schools agreed not to do any in-person recruiting. And both in the Harbaugh case and in the Antonio Pierce situation, those programs pretty flagrantly violated that rule. And look, I know people roll their eyes at the NCAA and the rules, and I understand that, and I join in on that a lot of times. But look, what's the point of having an organization, a sports organization, if people aren't held accountable for breaking rules? And it's the same in the NFL or anywhere else. I mean, if you are in the NFL or the NBA and you're out, meeting a free agent when you're not supposed to meet a free agent, then you're going to get fined a lot of money and you're going to get a draft pick taken away. Like, those are the things that are laid out in agreement of collective bargaining and all of those things. So it's really no different here. The NCAA's got rules that we can agree with or not agree with, but at the end of the day, the people who work in that space are obliged to follow them, and when they don't, there should be some types of consequences. So NIL and paying players and all that stuff, yes, we're in a different time, and certainly we're in a different environment, and thoughts are evolving, and in some ways the NCAA is evolving. But on the stuff, you know, you specifically mentioned, I do think the NCAA is well within its rights to sanction those people.
Okay, well, let's see what they do into the future as well. The NCAA always evolving. College football always evolving. Hey, Dan, thank you for taking the time to join us. Where can people follow you and all of your work with USA Today?
Well, anytime, USA Today online, in print, and at Dan Wolkin on X.
Hey, Dan, thank you for the time. You have a great weekend, okay?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
No doubt about it. That Dan Wolkin of USA Today covers all things college football. I'm still thinking about Ole Miss. Man, they could get into the playoff, but I still go, Ole Miss, when are they going to beat an SEC team that matters? Couldn't even get past Kentucky. Man, that Lane is, well, people always want to move him on to greener pastures, but I mean, damn it, can you win something at Ole Miss first? We'll figure it out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, speaking of Lane Kiffin, I don't know. Well, he's not in the worst position. We see guys like Billy Napier. Now, that guy is in a bad position. Mike Norvell, FSU, he's in a bad position. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some other coaches on the NFL side. These guys are in a bad position. I'll tell you about them on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, thank you so much to Dan Wolkin from USA Today for joining us in the last break to talk about some college football. Quiet weekend. I think everybody needs to kind of calm down and relax and chill out a little bit after what we saw last weekend between Alabama and the Georgia Bulldogs, who are just right down the road for me. Everybody just take a deep breath and relax. I'm looking forward to seeing what Miami does out in California tomorrow. This is something that I have to get used to. We got two California schools in the ACC. It just makes me want to scratch my head. Everybody's on the East Coast. And you got two Cali schools on. It doesn't make any sense to me. What do I know? It's all about the money. That's what I know. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, as a part of the conversation with Dan, we started to rap and chat about some of the coaches, or at least I did, you know, looking at Ole Miss and like Lane Kiffin, his teams can never get over the hump. People always trying to move him around to other teams. I'm just like, have him beat somebody first. And it made me start thinking about some of the coaches also in the NFL who are currently on the hot seat. Like, for instance, and I feel like this is a dead man walking. We were talking about his team earlier on in the show, the Dallas Cowboys. Is Mike McCarthy, he's been cooked from the minute that they brought him back last season. Is he returning? Is he going to get fired? Is he going to go? Like, when you have to start having those conversations, you're done. You're finished. Like, the Dallas Cowboys didn't spend this past offseason. No, I mean, well, not to bring anybody new in. We know about Dak getting $60 million. We know about CeeDee Lamb, now the second highest paid wide receiver in the game behind Jefferson at 35, and he's behind him. Like, we know they spent there. But where did the Dallas Cowboys improve at all? They brought in Ezekiel Elliott. Pollard is gone. I can tell you that the Dallas Cowboys, they got worse. And as we had the conversation with Mike DeFabo earlier on in the show, if I'm taking a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I got the Steelers beating the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday, especially with all the injuries that the Cowboys have to deal with. And so they just might fall to 2-3. And then the sky will fall again. But this is normal because this was the case back in January. Mike McCarthy is on borrowed time. The last time we saw the Dallas Cowboys, it was against the New York Giants. God bless their souls. Because the Giants are just awful to watch. The Giants. Anyway, we'll get to them in a minute. They suck. They're awful. They're bad. And Mike McCarthy, he was just complaining about the amount of penalties that the team had. And I'm like, man, that's the least of your worries. Listen to this dead coach walking.
Number one, there's too many, you know, so, and I think just like anything, to be able to overcome them, you know, I think that's a credit to the offensive group. But, yeah, it's, you know, was it 15-5? So completely out of balance. Had 15 called. I think 11 were 11 for 90 yards, somewhere in there. So, like I've already stated, we have a lot of work to do.
Man, I was going to say I'd love to be in the room when that conversation takes place. At the end of the season, when Jerry Jones tells him, thank you, Mike, but we're going to go in a different direction. I'd love to be witness to that, but I'm not. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then meanwhile, I told you about the New York Giants, right? There are people who think that Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, that he's in trouble. The Giants have a record of 1-3. This poor, miserable team has to go to Seattle, take on the Seahawks, and Daniel Jones is not going to have his number one pass-catching option, a guy who's just been hauling in 10 catches and 100 yards like it's nothing, and Malik Nabers. He suffered a concussion in that last game trying to come back. No Malik Nabers means the Giants are going to be even worse. That offense is going to light them up, and the Giants are not going to have an answer. The defense is going to have to generate points. They're going to try to generate points in offense. This is a pathetic season for the Giants. This is nothing but a farewell tour for Daniel Jones. When this season is over, Daniel Jones is going to be gone. But can you get rid of Brian Daboll? I don't think so. How are you going to fire a guy who has to throw out a roster that can't score to save their lives? Brian Daboll is not an idiot. When Brian Daboll spoke to the media, he says, listen, I'm just trying to teach my guys, listen, God, don't be a bunch of losers.
Focus on the next week. That's what you have to do. It's a long season. Each week is different. I think there's a lot of improvements that are being made. It's not showing in the results. There's things that are getting, you know, worked on and showing up on tape. So, you know, you got to be mentally strong in this business and be able to, you know, push through the tough times.
Oh, my God. 13 more games of this? Oh, my goodness. They're one of the worst teams to watch. Hey, Jack, am I lying? Aren't they not one of the worst teams to sit down and watch? Trying to watch them score is sad.
Yeah, their offense is not good. I do agree with you. It's like Brian Daboll just inherited a team that's just been like 10 years of not good. So when he came in, it's just like, all right, I'm going to try to work with them. You know, became a playoff team, you know, and then the next two, you know, last season was a complete disaster, but it wasn't his fault. And nobody could stay healthy. Like, I agree with you. It's not all Brian Daboll's fault. He inherited just a bad team. And yeah, I agree. Daniel Jones, I don't know. I don't see the Giants moving forward with him. I just don't see it after this season. And yeah, no, the offense is awful.
Oh, no, they're not awful. The offense is pathetic. The team is pathetic. Yeah. Brian Daboll is, unless the team just completely quit on this man, I think Brian Daboll will be back. Unlike Mike McCarthy. And you know what? Speaking of the division, I don't know what's going on in the NFC East. I think this guy, he might actually be gone. The Eagles are another team with their head coach on the hot seat. Nick Sirianni. Oh, my God. They lost to the Bucs again. We saw the Bucs in action last night. Hurts is turning the ball over. Eagles, unfortunately, have their own injury issues. A.J. Brown and Devontae. They got the Browns next. Come on. If the Eagles don't beat the Browns, I'm not saying Nick Sirianni is going to get fired in the middle of the season. I don't think so. I doubt it. But if they don't have success at the end of the year, if there is not a turnaround when the guys get healthy, Nick Sirianni is getting replaced for somebody like Bill Belichick. At least Nick Sirianni is well aware of what the hell is going on. He has these amazing press conferences full of word salad. But he says, yeah, it's my fault that we suck. Listen to this.
I felt like, again, as I say, we didn't coach well enough. We didn't play well enough. And that's always going to start with me. If we go out there and lay an egg and we're down 24-0, that's going to start on me. I didn't have the guys ready to start.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the clearest sentence I ever heard him utter. Ever. Think about all these coaches in the NFL. Man, we're just about a quarter of the way through the season. I say just about because now we got this stupid 17th game that nobody wanted, except for the NFL to make more money. We already got guys who are facing a boot. Mike McCarthy, if I had to put money on it, probably going to be gone. Nick Sirianni, end of the season, probably going to be gone. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side of the break, I got one coach for you. I feel more strongly about this dude than anybody that he is going to get the boot. I'm going to tell you who he is on the other side. This is the coach on the hottest of hot seats. Also take a wrap and run around of a lot of the topics we discussed this afternoon, this evening. I'm going to give you a few things that happened this day in sports. We're not done yet. We got more to do. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.